Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Battlemage Redux by Theophilus Monroe and Michael Anderley, narrated by Caleb Summers. Chapter 1. Nigel and I faced off in an old training room in the hospital-turned-Alliance headquarters in St. Louis. The air was thick with the smell of disinfectant. It was a new spell I'd been practicing. I'd seen him use it when we fought Hanna's undead mages. He taught me how to do it. I held my wand in two hands, and a beam of arcane energy flowed from the tip. Nigel held up his wand and did the same. Low energy, remember. Our strikes should only give us a little shock. I gave a slight nod and a mischievous smirk. I reached out to one of the tables to retrieve my Darth Vader helmet. I put it on over my head. It was a bit tight, but it worked. I'd been waiting for this moment ever since I saw Nigel cast the spell from his wand in the battle. I waved my wand-slash-arcane-saber in front of my face. I dropped my voice as low as I could, which was unnecessary because my helmet had a voice filter that made me sound just like James Earl Jones.
The circle is now complete. Now I am the master.
Nigel rolled his eyes. Wanker. I widened my stance and prepared to strike. Nigel's button-up shirt was stuck to his skin with sweat, and his slender black tie dangled from his neck. It was better than the three-piece suit he wore all the time when I first met him, and he called me the wanker? All right. I was a grown-ass man in his 40s doing Darth Vader cosplay. Come on, though. What man wouldn't do that if he could make an arcane saber like mine? I lunged at Nigel and swung my saber at him. He easily blocked the attack, single-handedly. His other hand was placed confidently on his waist. I pivoted my hips and struck again, this time from the opposite side. Once again, he effortlessly blocked my sword with his own. What was that nonsense about the circle? Who did you say was the master now? I huffed.
Nigel, I am your daddy!
Nigel snorted. His saber blocked two of my swings, and I felt the sharp sting as it caught me around the back of my leg. The energy struck me like an electric shock. My leg went temporarily numb. Is that so, mate? Looks like you've got it backward. I hopped on one leg, trying to jab Nigel with my saber. He laughed and gracefully stepped aside each time as he whisked away my saber with his own. Nigel casually struck my other leg, and I fell to my knees.
You won't stop me that easily!
Nigel laughed.
I am Arthur, King of the Britons. What are you talking about?
Nigel tapped me with his saber on one arm. My arm went limp. I dropped my wand and picked it up again with my opposite hand.
"'Tis but a scratch, right, mate? Just a flesh wound?"
I grunted.
"Dare you mock a Sith Lord?"
Nigel laughed.
"You're a lot less Darth Vader right now, and a lot more of Monty Python's Black Knight. Give it a minute, and your feeling will return. You need to learn how to properly handle your weapon. You can't swing your saber around like some kind of loony and expect to prevail against a trained swordsman.
You told me to practice. Look at my saber. It's pretty badass, right?
The sharpest katana in the hand of a samurai is a powerful tool. In the hand of a fool, it is dangerous.
Are you saying I'm a fool?
Of course not. You have a gift. Wisdom inherited from your grandfather. Still, you do a great job of covering it up with nonsense.
Feeling returned to my arms and legs, and I removed my Darth Vader helmet.
So I practiced. I can draw my arcane saber from my core. It's pure and strong.
Still, you must learn how to wield it. It's an effective weapon for a battle mage. Much better in close combat than arcane missiles or even cherry bombs. You shouldn't try to use it, though, unless you are confident that you can best your opponent.
I held my own with that chainsaw before, when Hannah attacked us at the store.
You were fighting zombies, Thomas. Animated corpses of Entente mages that Hannah killed just hours before. They were muscle, a tool she used to try and break through your gates and distract you. They were hardly skilled fighters.
I took a deep breath. I'm sorry, man. You know how I am. When I'm insecure about something, I cover it up with sarcasm and humor.
Why are you insecure? Nigel asked. There's no shame in acknowledging that you still have much to learn. There is great shame in pretending you're a master when you're a novice. Recognizing your deficiencies is necessary if you want to improve.
I cleared my throat. Growth areas.
Nigel raised an eyebrow. What?
I'm taking a course on management and leadership online, working on my management degree. I figured it would help, both with the tool rental store and for leading the Alliance. They call our weaknesses growth areas, not deficiencies. It's all about positive self-speak and whatnot.
It doesn't matter what you call your weaknesses.
I raised my index finger. Growth areas?
Nigel cleared his throat.
That sounds like skin cancer. Might want to get your moles checked, mate.
It's called leadership.
Positive self-talk isn't helpful if it gets you killed. You have weaknesses, Thomas. So do I. So does everyone.
In my class, they said we shouldn't use words that motivate from a place of fear. We should focus on a positive vision instead, a place of hope.
We're looking at a war with the new Axis, Thomas. In business, I suppose hope is better than fear. In a battle, you bloody better have a good dose of healthy fear. You need not honor your enemy, but you should respect their skill. Fear can be a powerful motivator if you channel it correctly.
I scratched the back of my head. It can also be paralyzing.
If you cower in the face of fear, you bet your blimey arse it can be.
I snorted. I know what you're saying. I get it, all right? I need to learn how to fight with a saber.
Nigel pocketed his wand and placed his hand on my shoulder.
When I was just a lad, I accidentally kicked a football over my neighbor's fence. I was only 9 or 10, about the age of your oldest. When I climbed the fence to get it, a large Doberman took off out of his doghouse after me, growling and snarling. Now, I've never been much of a jumper or a climber, but I leaped over the top of that fence and pulled myself to safety in a half second. If not for fear, I could have tried to do that 100 times and failed every time. With a healthy fear, a fear that recognizes the fact that a big snarling Doberman could tear me to pieces, I transcended my limits.
Adrenaline, most likely.
Nigel nodded.
Certainly. But after that, I believed I could do it. Once I did it, it didn't matter much that it was fear that first pushed me to the next level. What mattered is I knew I could do it. After that, I scaled fences with an ease I never had before.
I cleared my throat. I get it. Fear is good. I need to practice more.
Nigel shook his head.
Sometimes fear challenges us to rise to the occasion. It can happen in a split second, like when that dog came after me, or it can happen over time. This is an occasion where a good fear of Hannah and the Axis Mages could inspire you to excel beyond what you ever thought possible before. That's not being negative. It's using everything and anything to push yourself to be better. It's a positive thing.
I put wand in my back pocket and leaned against the wall. I am afraid to die.
Most people are.
I pinched my chin. You know what I fear more than death?
Tell me, Thomas.
I fear failing to protect my family. I fear something happening to them because of me, because the enemy knew they could use them against me, because I wasn't good enough or strong enough to keep them safe.
So you have a healthy long-term fear.
There's nothing stronger than that. What do you say we put that split-second fear to the test?
What do you mean? I asked. Nigel retrieved his wand and formed his glowing blue arcane saber at the end.
A little stronger this time. Enough to knock you out cold and leave you with one hell of a headache. I've already taught you the basic blocks. Can you block me?
I gulped. I pulled wand from my back pocket and formed my saber.
I don't know. I can try. Not a good enough answer, Thomas. You better be able to, because I will not lower the power. You either block me or you pay for it.
Nigel came at me with a fury. I raised my wand saber and blocked his first strike. He pivoted his hips and swung at my legs. I jumped over his saber. He made a full circle with his saber in one arm and brought it down at me from above. My arm reacted, and I stopped his saber just before it struck me over the top of my head. He laughed.
I knew you could do it. Now, let's go over some basic strikes. It's one thing to block your enemy. Eventually, no matter how good you are, they'll get lucky, unless you know how to counter-strike.
Chapter 2. I pocketed my wand and twisted my back. 42 isn't the best age to learn how to joust. My back was as unpredictable as any enemy I'd ever faced. I always knew when it happened. I'd feel something move in my back, a sudden but initially tolerable wave of pain, and over the next few hours, all the muscles around the spot would end up in full-on spasm mode. I was pretty sure I got out of this particular training session with my back intact. That didn't mean I could let my guard down. When my back went out, it never happened because I was doing something strenuous. It was usually at some point afterward. I could go to the gym and do 6 sets of deadlifts without a problem. It was when I'd bend over later that night to pick up a sock that the pain wave would strike. I popped a couple of ibuprofen and did my best to smear a glob of Bengay around my low back and shoulders. The mid-back was still vulnerable. I couldn't reach it, and I wasn't about to ask Nigel to rub my back with Bengay. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I was raised to avoid physical contact with other dudes whenever possible. Never use a urinal directly next to another man. Always leave a buffer urinal in between. Also, don't ever rub anything into another man's skin. I knew it was silly. Nothing about applying muscle relaxer called someone's sexual orientation into question. And if it did, so what? I believed in acceptance and equality. Still, if you grew up when I did, old habits rooted in archaic phobias died hard. That I'd rather risk leaving my mid-back vulnerable to seizing up than allow a man to touch my back skin was patently ridiculous. I knew it. I was well aware that it was dumb and rooted in backward prejudices and insecurities. I also knew I couldn't help the fact that something about man-to-man contact was more likely to make my back seize up than it was to help me relax. Nigel and I talked a lot about fear. What he didn't address was why facing my dumbest and most irrational fears was sometimes harder than confronting a life-threatening force of evil. He could swing his saber at me with a charge that was going to knock me out, and I rose to the occasion and blocked every strike. Hana Sato could raise the corpses of mages and send them at me, and I'd cut them down with a chainsaw. It was a different thing to face a fear, no matter how old school and backward, that represented a wall in my mind erected in my formative years that was supposed to make me more secure in my identity. All the while, I suspected, it was because no one was ever really secure about their identity. We built false walls in our minds, trying to close in on our true selves. All the while, what we're left with is a shadow of who we are, a caricature and a facade that we use to present to others and ourselves, because nothing is more terrifying than self-discovery. What if we find out that we aren't who we want to be? What if we aren't what other people expect us to be? Muscle relaxers aside, that was what haunted me more than my fears. Who was I to lead an alliance of mages? Why would anyone follow me, an American mage, when the Entente mages were raised following a strict code that didn't line up with my worldview? What if my leadership philosophy was bullshit? Maybe everything I learned in class, this new school philosophy of leading through casting a vision, creating ownership in the vision, and inspiring people to rise to the occasion, was little more than sentimental drivel, meant to coddle people rather than challenge them to do better. Nigel thought fear had a place in my training, in leadership, but my teachers in my online business program didn't think it was worth anything. That was my biggest fear, that everything I was pretending to be wasn't real. Despite my history of being headstrong and a little arrogant when I went into battle, at my core, I had my doubts. What if I was one big fat fraud? What if following me got people killed? While I was training with Nigel, my 9-year-old son, Elijah, was training in portal magery. When we'd set up the headquarters for the new Mage Alliance, we used an old hospital on Jefferson. Professor Pritchard, who I often referred to as Professor Poppycock, was running the Mage Academy. It wasn't the residential program he ran in the Entente chambers. It was an after-school program. The mages in the Alliance sent their children to secular schools for their basic education, and they came to the headquarters 3 nights a week. 2 of those nights were with Poppycock, learning about arcane theory, the history of magery, and whatnot. Those young mages who'd specialized, like my son, spent Wednesday evenings training with their mentors. Elijah's mentor was Evander, a young gate mage who'd played a pivotal role in saving the survivors from the Entente chambers during Hanna's attack. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. Elijah wasn't a fan of classroom activities, but he loved training and working on his gate mage skills. My 2 younger sons, Ezra and Elliot, 5 and 3, respectively, wouldn't likely manifest for a few more years, if they ever did. Being the firstborn, Elijah had some advantages. He got to do all of this first. Kat and I weren't sure how we could manage his abilities. Gate mages can get into a lot of trouble. With a single portal, Elijah could easily reach into other people's homes, businesses, or whatever, and take whatever he wanted. He was old enough to know that stealing was wrong. He was also old enough that he had secrets of his own. Thievery was only one worry. He could also hide things he wasn't supposed to have in a portal that could stash his stuff virtually anywhere. For the time being, thankfully, Elijah's range was limited. Unlike Hans or Evander, he couldn't create gates all over the world. He couldn't even make any large enough to accommodate his entire body. So far, all he'd done was create small portals he could reach through and use to engage in his prepubescent shenanigans. The worst he did at his age, such as stealing Twinkies from the neighbor's pantry or dumping his broccoli off his plate and into the yard, was harmless compared to the trouble he could get into if he didn't learn to wield his abilities responsibly. Once he turned 16, he'd have a chance to enter an ethereal realm and claim a wand. That's when his power would magnify and intercontinental travel might become possible. What was important now was to teach control and responsibility. He who can be faithful with a little can be trusted with much. It worked out well that I trained with Nigel whenever Elijah was in class or working with Evander. While I waited outside the room where Evander and Elijah were working, Hans approached, shuffling his feet.
"Hey, Hans, how goes it?"
"Not bad, Tom. How's your training going?"
I shrugged. "We're getting there. A lot of relatively simple lessons that apparently I'm choosing to learn the hard way." Hans smirked.
"That sounds like you."
"What is that supposed to mean?" I raised my eyebrows.
"It means you can be a stubborn bastard sometimes. It's not necessarily a flaw. It can be. Your stubbornness probably saved my life when the American mages voted to kill me. I rubbed my brow. That wasn't stubbornness. It was decency.
Exactly. They thought if they killed me, they'd seal the arcane breach. They thought that one boy's life was worth stopping the mist from spreading. Of course, they didn't know the true nature of the threat, but you were stubborn. You made my grandfather a promise. You stuck to it because you knew it was the right thing to do. I owe my life to your stubborn ass.
I chuckled. Well, I appreciate you saying so. How is your grandmother doing?
She's been meeting with Mary and Jesse. They're the only three empaths, so they've been getting together, singing Kumbaya and practicing their skills.
And it's helping Rose? Hans nodded.
My grandmother still has dementia. Funny, though, how much working with other empaths can help heal the mind. Things my grandmother forgets, Jesse and Mary can help her bring back to the forefront of her mind.
That's good to hear. Face it, though, her issues were deeper than that. She thought it was 1943, back after Hanna captured the two of you.
That was as much the work of Goebbels, the Axis empath, as it was her own desire to retreat to the past in her mind. Now that Mary taught her and Jesse how to deal with the problem of those painful empath feedback loops when they connected to each other, having other empaths who understand what she's going through is really helping. She may not ever be back to 100%, but she knows who I am. She doesn't mistake me for my father anymore. She knows what's at stake.
That's good to hear. How is your room here? You're always welcome back at my place if you're uncomfortable here.
Hans shifted his eyes back and forth.
Honestly, no disrespect intended, but it's great. I have my own room. There are dozens of domestic mages here. My room is always clean, and I can be a total slob, no problem. And there's the food. Don't get me wrong, Cat can heat up a mean frozen lasagna, but these domestic mages are like gourmet chefs.
I smirked. Yeah, I love the cafeteria here. It doesn't look like much down there, but I'm not sure there's anything those domestic mages can't cook well.
Want to know a secret?
Hans tilted his head.
Sure.
Sometimes I eat here before I go home. Especially on mac and cheese nights.
Hans chuckled.
I don't blame you.
Those kids love mac and cheese. How much of that crap can a person eat?
That depends. The domestic mages here make a killer mac and cheese.
Yeah, because they make it with real cheese. It's creamy and stringy. I'm not sure what the crunchy stuff is on top, but it's fantastic.
Sure beats the noodles and powder that come in the narrow box.
I nodded. But the kids love it. If it's not that, it's frozen chicken nuggets or cheese pizza. Trying to get those kids to eat something decent like a roast or a good stew is an uphill battle. Since Kat is helping Jeff at the rental store, it's not like she has a lot of time to make multiple meals.
Make what you want. If the kids won't eat it, they'll be hungry. They'll learn eventually.
I sighed. That's easier said than done. You underestimate the persistence of children. They will stick to their guns for days and yell and scream all the while. It's hard not to give in just to shut them up.
They know exactly what they're doing.
Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. It can be exhausting.
Hans shrugged.
Don't take my advice. I never had kids. I was raised in a very strict household. My grandfather never tolerated any whining.
How did he stop it? I asked.
He stared at me. He cracked his belt. Never hit me with it, but I knew he could.
I chuckled. You were afraid of him.
Sure, but sometimes fear is a good start. I learned later that everything he did for me was for my own good. I also knew he'd never actually hurt me. At some point, I can't say when, I replaced that fear with respect.
Then he didn't need to threaten me with his belt. He didn't have to yell or punish me. I scratched my head. Sometimes I wonder if the older generation just had a special touch. Or maybe we just look back at it different when things were just as chaotic for them as it is for us. Hans smirked. You are the older generation. Shut up, Hans laughed. Well, it's true. You are literally the same age that my father would be if he was still alive. The door clicked, and Evander let Elijah out. My son had the widest smile on his face.
Why don't you show your father what we practiced?
Evander asked, rustling his fingers through Elijah's long, shaggy brown hair.
Check this out!
Elijah ran into the room and grabbed a bottle of water from a cabinet. He unscrewed the cap. He held out his free hand with his palm pointed up and his fingers extended. Two small, semi-translucent portals formed above his hands about 2 feet apart. Elijah took his bottle of water and poured it into the bottom portal. The water flowed through the portal and out of the top one until it formed a constant stream of water between the two.
That's pretty cool, I exclaimed. Now watch this.
Elijah leaned his head in and took a swig of water.
You can drink from it. You can also wash your hands.
He put his hands in the stream of water.
If we had soap, which I know I'm supposed to use, it would work great.
Hans grinned.
You could pee into it too, you know.
Elijah laughed.
If I was going to do that, I wouldn't make a never-ending stream. I'd put the other side in the toilet. That way, I could pee anywhere, and I wouldn't have to worry about dealing with the bathroom.
I tilted my head. You'd still have to wash your hands. Hans smiled.
You could poop in one and drop it on someone's porch.
Don't give him any ideas, I shouted.
Elijah grinned.
We could do that to the bad guys.
I smiled. I don't think dropping deuces on our enemies' porches is the way to defeat the enemy. Besides, son, they have gate mages too, and they've already shown that they are willing to drop things a lot more dangerous than turds through them. Elijah nodded.
Like bombs. It's one reason why your specialization is so important, Evander said. If the enemy attacks us that way, gate mages might be our best chance to save us. If they drop a bomb on our headquarters, a good gate mage could send it away before it goes off.
I nodded, ideally dropping it somewhere safe, where no one will get hurt. Elijah pressed his lips together.
If we did it right, we could set up the portals to send any bombs they dropped right back through their own portal. Sort of like how I just did that with the water.
I chuckled. That's not a bad idea. Is that doable, Evander?
Evander nodded. Technically, it is. But the only way to really pull it off would be to cloak our portals. Not impossible, but it requires using some good illusion magic alongside the creation of gates. There's also a downside to it.
What is that? Hans asked. Sounds like a good plan to me.
Evander shook his head.
We don't know where the enemy might be sending them from. It was long before my time, but I know my history. The Axis mages often operated in the middle of populated areas, the basements of schoolhouses or hospitals, for that very reason.
I sighed, using innocent people as shields. Evander nodded.
That's always been the advantage the Axis had over us. We have a conscience. They're also willing to use our conscience against us.
Elijah tugged my arm.
According to Professor P. Dick, virtue is never a weakness. A good conscience can make friends and allies. It's a stronger play.
I chuckled. What did you call the professor? Elijah smiled wide.
P. Dick.
I snickered. His name is Professor Pritchard.
Right, like P. Richard. P. Dick. That's what all the kids call him when he isn't around.
The corners of my mouth ached from trying to force myself not to laugh.
You should be respectful of your teacher, son.
Elijah raised an eyebrow.
You call him Professor Poppycock. How is that any different?
Hans nodded.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?